Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Doing awesome.
That's good.
How are you?
That's good. I'm doing good. Doing good.
Good.
Keyser, what's going on?
Doing great. Joe, how are you really doing? Got to know.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I'm a Saturday Night Live character called Head Wound Harry, so.
Or like Toontz's.
Yeah, but I mean, there actually is a skit called Head Wound Harry where like the dog licks the guy's disgusting open head wound. Dana Carvey plays the role very well.
Please do indulge.
I think you just did.
I'm not going to. You want me to bring Gus or Quinn in here to lick my head?
No.
Yeah, I mean, Head Wound Harry, man, for, you know, the golden age of Saturday Night Live. But, yeah, this is not fake. I actually have a head wound. So I went to the grocery store last night to get, you know, well, the prescription drugs I needed and wore my hood over my head. Looked like I was going to rob the place. Pretty awesome.
Looked like Palpatine, man.
Well, yeah, exactly.
At least you could play it off as you're like, you know, it's really cold out there. So I don't want my head to get cold. Don't want my ears to get cold. So that's why I have the hood on.
Yes, that's what I was hoping people thought. Yes, but the strange looks said otherwise.
Oh, boy. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will be with us at 6:30. We'll get into the Nashville Predators with him. Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 at 7:30, talking all things Titans. Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach, will be with us at 8 o'clock. They got a big game tonight taking on Bradley in the Missouri Valley Conference. We'll catch up with Casey Alexander at 8 o'clock. Take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Ohio State takes down Notre Dame in the national title game. They win 34-23 last night. At one point, we're up 31-7 in the game, and then Notre Dame kind of, sort of, mounted a comeback in that one. But Ohio State finishes the job. They win the first 12-team playoff. So Ohio State wins the first college football playoff in general a decade ago and now has won the first 12-team college football playoff as well. Joe, your thoughts on the game last night and this run for Ohio State?
Yeah, pretty dominant, pretty impressive. Obviously an incredible about face for Ryan Day. You know, look, Ohio State's the first 4-team playoff. They were the last team in. People were very angry they got in. They ended up, you know, waxing Alabama and Oregon. And everybody's like, oh, okay. I guess, you know, I mean, you look at that team, that all the guys they had too, like Ezekiel Elliott and Michael Thomas and so on and so forth. Pretty freaking good. And then 10 years later, they're the first 12-team playoff winner as the 8 seed. So, but this was a team. I know someone put up the Athletic preseason stuff. I think 16 of our 28 people picked them to win it all. I believe I picked them to win it all going the year. They were the most talented team on paper. And look, to me, it's like Will Howard. I'm hesitant here a little bit, but you know, Will Howard and Riley Leonard, both very interesting quarterbacks to be in the national championship game. In one case, I mean, Riley Leonard, you know, he tries hard and he makes some plays and he's a good runner. Will Howard, the way he threw the ball for these four games, I look at him like, okay, someone's going to take a flyer on him. Again, where will it be? You know, probably fourth or fifth round or something like that. But, man, he did play so far beyond what I thought was possible with him based on the regular season and based on just his career before that. And I think that's still, if you just point to one thing, Jeremiah Smith was great all year. Sometimes he didn't get the ball because the quarterback didn't play well. He was incredible in this run.
Yeah, I mean, you had to figure at some point with Ohio State, Joe, that the $20 million roster was going to matter. And it did. It mattered in the college football playoff. And look, it was clear in the Tennessee game and then basically in every game after that that they were just more talented than everybody. I mean, it was pretty obvious. And that was, again, the case last night. And look, I think there were some psychological things that they handled really well, right? Like, it would have been easy for them to fold after the Michigan loss with all the negativity surrounding the program. Quite frankly, I thought that was an advantage for Tennessee heading into that first game was the fact that there was so much negativity around Ohio State. And to their credit, they kind of leaned into that and said, you know, screw you guys. We're going to go out here and show you that we're the best team, and that's what they did. And look, when it was 31-7 last night, I was just like, I mean, they are by far the best team in the country, which, again, makes the Michigan loss just astounding to me that happened. But when you finish it off with a national championship, I think Ryan Day has gotten the last laugh here.
Yes, no question. And, again, this is only possible in the 12 team. So, you know, again, some people take that as good or bad, devaluing the regular season, you know, because Michigan, Ohio State kills them. That result kills them in the old way. And in this way, it just sets them up. I also think that Tennessee game, I still think that if, you know, Tennessee hits a big shot early in that game and Ohio State fumbles or whatever, and there's a deficit, this may never get to this, you know? Like, I think the beginning of that game, the way they punched Tennessee in the mouth and immediately kind of took control, kind of got them rolling downhill. But I think that they were fragile then. And, you know, can't prove it, but, you know, but I really think that could have gone differently, and this whole playoff could have gone differently. But also thought last night was, frankly, was a rough night for Marcus Freeman, man.
Yeah.
You know, like the fake punt, it's like, just go for it. Yeah, like, that's just not when you're going to surprise someone with a fake punt. Kicking a field goal, you know, down 16 to kick a field goal to put yourself down 13 with 9 minutes left, like, you're just not going to have enough possessions for that to – I understand, like, if you do score two touchdowns, now you win
right
with extra points. But, like,
you got to score the
time, touchdowns. Yeah, with the time at that point, I think you just have to go. And so that to me, was that was not great. Then, of course, Notre Dame made some other critical mistakes. You know, they did show fight. I give them credit. Pigskin pick 'em. I'm angry because, you know, if they don't hit that deep shot, I win by a half point, and I think I'm like tied now with Keiser, but instead now he extended his lead because of that last field goal. And a lot of people either made or lost money on that last little field goal.
Yep, no doubt about it. So congratulations to Ohio State. They've won the national championship. And now I guess we'll see, you know, if Ryan Day decides to stay. I assume he will at this point.
Get him, Vrabel.
But
hire him today, Vrabel.
Could be interesting there if he just walks off and says, all right, screw you guys, I'm going to be a coordinator in the NFL. Be interested to see what happens on that front. Speaking of coordinators in the NFL, Joe, the Titans have found a new one. And John Fossil, their next special teams coach, coming in as the special teams coordinator from the Dallas Cowboys. Now, some interesting stuff here, Joe. According to Kaharsky, like, there's no real clarity on the Colt Anderson part of this right now. Now, we know he's not the special teams coordinator anymore because John Fossil is, but I guess that there's a chance that Colt Anderson could still remain on the staff at some point. We'll see what happens with that. But John Fossil, coming over from the Cowboys, obviously they fired Mike McCarthy, so he's now joining the Titans. Obviously a guy that's got a good reputation around the league, has been in the league for a while. What do you make of this hire for the Titans with John Fossil as their new special teams coach?
Yeah, it's an accomplished guy. I know, you know, he's one of those special teams coaches. There's like three or four in the league that Like the broadcast of the game is always ready to show them. And, you know, again, they're special teams. Like, they do good things, and then they're all excitable and everything. And he's one of those guys. I mean, the numbers are very good on what he's done, so it's a good hire. We're not sure about Cole Anderson. Like, Pekarski still, because I saw, you know, this yesterday afternoon where it's like, you know, I think A to Z reported that he was fired, I believe. And Pekarski said, well, there's no clarity yet. Like, we're still not sure.
The last I've seen from Pekarski is nothing on Colt Anderson is finalized except that he's not the special teams coordinator.
Yeah, this is where it's like the Titans can just easily not make things so hard on themselves, you know, by just communicating clearly, but you know, can't do it. Just can't do it. Just, and I hope at least it's not the case for him. You know, it just hasn't been reported. But I mean, just come on, guys. This should not be a thing where, like, people who cover your team on a day-to-day basis have conflicting messages on what's going on with your staff. And look, it's a lightning rod issue with this guy. It has been since September. How is this difficult? I mean, and also if you're him, so obviously you're being demoted. I mean, I suppose it's like, well, if I don't have any other options, I guess I'll take the assistant special teams coach job. It's better than nothing. I don't know. But, you know, then a lot of people would probably be like, okay, thanks. I'm going to go find another job.
I mean, would he be able to find another job? But, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah. No, I mean, right. That's why he may just take it, but. But is that what's happening?
I don't know.
But look who he hired. Yay. No idea. Ignore the man behind the curtain.
But hey, you know, one of my favorite things about special teams coaches, Joe, is for the most part around the league, if things are going well, you don't really discuss the special teams coach that much. So I would love, other than the occasional, hey, attaboy, good job here, to really not talk about John Fossil a whole lot next season if I'm a Titans fan.
Yeah, but he's got a cool nickname, and he gets really excited on the sideline. So if they do some – like, I hear you. For the most part, you want to be like refs and offensive linemen, right? And just basically as long as – if they're not talking about you, you're probably doing your job well. It has been a long time since the Titans special teams coach was, like, just a non-issue.
It has been. I mean, those weekly press conferences with the special teams coordinator have to be up there with some of the most interesting in the league when you talk about just specifically two special teams coordinators.
Yeah, and now you got a new one. All those same questions, dozens and dozens of questions, can all be asked again of this guy. Get excited.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the hiring of John Fossil as the new special teams coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. Also, take a look at some updated coaching searches around the league, including one that may happen pretty quickly here today. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Titans have hired John Fossil to be their next special teams coordinator. We'll take your thoughts on that. Joe, in the meantime, the coaching carousel in the National Football League continues on. Ben Johnson hired by the Chicago Bears to be their next head coach. Now, Ben Johnson, as we've talked about a lot, probably the hottest coaching name on the market in terms of the up-and-coming coordinator. We knew he was going to land a job somewhere, and it will be the Chicago Bears. He stays in the NFC North. Your thoughts on Ben Johnson, the Bears being able to land him, and his decision to go work with Caleb Williams?
Yeah, there was some talk about this, you know, maybe not being his preference, some talk about Jacksonville. Now, I think it might have been Diana Rossini reported that, you know, that something about the interest there that basically made me think, you know, Shad Khan, like, does he really think that much of Trent Baalke basically, because apparently Harbaugh was also interested. So if you want to look at it in a certain way, that's what it was. It was actually Ted Gwynn from The Athletic tweeted, like, basically he chose Balke over Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, a year ago, and now Ben Johnson. Like, great.
Good stuff.
Good luck. Good luck with that. So, but I
what has Trent Balke done down there to position himself the way that he seemingly has? It's unbelievable.
Well, Khan did say going into last year, he said this is the most talented team in franchise history. So apparently he thinks he's done amazing.
Which is just a moronic statement, by the way, but yes.
Yeah, I agree. So I don't know, man. But Ben Johnson, Ashago does make sense. Caleb Williams, it's going to be very – now he's in the same division with his mentor and friend Dan Campbell. It's going to be interesting. Chicago's very excited, and I don't blame them for being excited, but can Ben Johnson be the total head coach? I think he's a tremendous play caller. I think a little less of him based on – I mean, I still can't get over the reverse flea flicker. Jameson Williams, make a big throw for us, please. We're down 10 in the biggest drive of the entire season. Let's put it in your hands. I still, you know, here and there, he has his moments where you're like, okay, man, all right. But overall, I think he's a elite play designer, play caller, all that stuff. So now, is he an elite quarterback developer? I mean, Jared Goff was, you know, a finished product. Basically, Jared Goff had been to the quarterback, or been to the Super Bowl as a quarterback before he ever got to Detroit and Ben Johnson. So that's another part of this. How much of his value is quarterback, you know, grooming, you know, and how much will that click with Caleb Williams? But they're excited, and I think it could work out. But you just, you know, most of these offensive guys do, but we are, as we move through time, Robbie, more and more, you know, there are failures, and there are just guys who aren't cut out to be the full head coach. And again, right now here in Nashville, so far 0-for-1 on seasons with Brian Callahan. Lots of that not his fault, but this may turn out to be one of those that didn't work out too.
Well, if I were the Bears, this is who I would want, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of talk about Vrabel before he was hired by New England. There's talk about Mike McCarthy coming in and being that culture guy there too. But this is who I would have wanted if I were the Chicago Bears. And look, maybe it doesn't work out. I don't know. I do think he is an elite play caller. I think he is an elite play designer. Now, what does that look like as a head coach? Like, as you know, Joe, I mean, some guys are just really, really good offensive coordinators and are not cut out to be a head coach. I have no idea whether or not Ben Johnson is going to be a great head coach or if he's not. But I think given the situation you're in with your franchise right now, like, it is critical that you give Caleb Williams the best opportunity to succeed. And in my opinion, the best opportunity for him to succeed is to marry him with an offensive guy that is going to be the play caller. You don't have to worry about, you know, losing an offensive coordinator a year down the road if things go well, that is calling your plays. Like, he's going to be the guy in charge of the offense and building things that way. And then you have to hope he can make some really good hires to handle the defensive side of things and put together a good staff around it. But this would have been, I think, target number one for me if I were the Bears. I hear all the Vrabel stuff. I hear, you know, all the Mike McCarthy stuff. But this is exactly where I would have gone if I were them.
Yeah. I agree. I think you have to think in terms of the QB. And look, I'm sure it was embarrassing for Caleb Williams when those kids got his number and faked him out into thinking that Ben Johnson was reaching out to him. But if you're the Bears, you're like, well, gosh, he'd be happy if we hired Ben Johnson. I guess we should hire Ben Johnson, huh? Yeah. Caleb should do that for real now. He should, like, have Ben Johnson, you know, like, put it on his Insta, you know, or whatever.
Here's the conversation between me and the actual Ben Johnson. Yes.
Yeah. Have some of that, suckers. No, I agree. When it comes to the offensive, you know, play caller guy, which are typically, in some years, it's almost like that's the only thing teams want to hire.
Right.
I'm glad that we've gotten to the point where it's kind of like, you know, there's a mix of different, there's defensive guys, and, like, you know, Vrabel was very coveted during this cycle, but still, that's still the hot hire. And it is when you have a Caleb Williams, if it works out, then again, you have that coach and you have the you don't have the concern about losing the guy who's done so much to build your offense because he's your head coach. And that's the problem with, you know, with like with the Lions, even though actually Dan Campbell is technically an offensive guy, so maybe it'll look a lot similar, but you know, that's a huge loss for him, obviously.
Well, and he may be losing another coordinator as well. Aaron Glenn is visiting with the New York Jets today, and the reporting around that this morning, Ian Rappaport put it out there, the goal for the Jets is to not let him leave the building. We heard that last year with Brian Callahan and the Titans, and it worked, and they got Brian Callahan to a contract while they were there. Apparently the goal for the Jets is to not let Aaron Glenn leave the building, and they have zeroed in on him to be their next head coach. So we'll see whether or not they can come to an agreement. It's the second interview for Aaron Glenn with the Jets. He did the first one virtually. This one's in person. So it looks like the Jets have made Aaron Glenn their target, Joe, and the Detroit Lions could be losing both of their coordinators.
My advice to Aaron Glenn would be, get out, Aaron. Get out now.
Yeah, but, I don't know if the Jets is – I mean, look, it's a head coaching job, so I get it, but – I think find another
job. He played there. Yeah. I liked the Saints for him. I liked that idea. Not that, you know, like the Saints have, you know, a QB question and not a great roster, but they have pretty solid ownership. The Bensons, you know, pretty good reputation over the years. And, man, the Jets job, it just seems like a black hole, you know, just sucks people in and, you know. And so, but, yeah, exactly. His head coach job, but yeah, that's – I mean, if you're the Detroit Lions, boy, you can't even win a playoff game. You lose both your coordinators. That's a tough combination right there, baby. But, you know, let the tradition continue.
For the Lions. And, Joe, don't look now. You know, if you believe that the Raiders have lost out on their guy here with Ben Johnson and that was their top target, a lot of speculation today. You know, Mike Florio's put this out there, a lot of speculation today. That Pete Carroll may emerge as the top target for the Raiders. What do you think of that?
It's interesting. Look, if Pete Carroll, I hate to limit someone by their age. That'd be hypocritical of me. What is Pete Carroll? Is he up to 75 yet?
I don't know. He's in his
70s. I think. Look, if Pete Carroll is all
73.
In, and okay, hey man, can you get a good 5 years out of Pete Carroll? I think he's really good. Yeah, obviously he's a really good coach. So I don't hate it. Especially if, you know, if the coveted candidates out there you know, have been scooped up, I don't hate it. I think that could be a decent hire. I have wondered here, like, is Cliff Kingsbury, is it too soon for him? You know, he was just sort of bounced out of Arizona and everybody's like, oh God, that was a bad hire. And then obviously this year, so much success as the OC. And of course, if you're him, you're like, boy, I sure am glad I have Jaden Daniels as my quarterback. But still, I kind of thought that he might start gathering some momentum here.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what that looks like. I would still, this is just me, I would be hesitant on him. Like, once you do it again for another year as a coordinator, but I don't know. I'd be interested. It's like, does he make sense for a team like Jacksonville? Like, everybody still is connecting Robert Saleh to Jacksonville. We'll see. But would Cliff Kingsbury make sense for a team like Jacksonville that looks at it and says, all right, maybe he's the guy that can get Trevor Lawrence unlocked here? I don't know.
I mean, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'd be more excited about Kingsbury than Saleh, you know?
I would,
just
too.
Just at least to have an offensive guy. So that's a good thought. I mean, no one had Dave Canales getting a job a year ago, and all of a sudden he did. There's some people, by the way, talking about Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
You know, with the Bucs, who had a heck of a year as OC.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean will join us coming up next. We'll get into all things Nashville Predators with him, including an interesting trade situation that was thrown out there last week. We'll get Alex's thoughts on. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the San Jose Sharks. They've won 3 in a row, and to help us talk more about that, we head to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Alex Doherty from the Tennessean. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I definitely did not wake up 5 minutes ago.
Good. Hey, we woke up.
I am awake. I'm awake and I'm here.
Yeah, we were going to quiz you about what
we were going to quiz you. Yeah, I'm glad that you're ready. Glad that you're prepared. So, Alex, when you look at this team and the way that they've played, they've won three in a row. The math would tell you that getting back into kind of the playoff push here is going to be really, really hard for them. However, I did lay out yesterday on the show, schedule coming up is not exactly murderer's row. They get San Jose twice this week. They got Anaheim on Saturday. They got two more games with Anaheim after that in the season. Couple of trips to Buffalo, Chicago on the schedule. They have the easiest schedule in the league remaining. So, being 12 points out of a playoff spot, do you think that with the way that the Predators are playing right now, can they get themselves back into the mix here by the time the Four Nations break rolls around on February the 8th?
Yeah, I heard you say that, Robbie, that they had the easiest schedule down the road. It's and I looked at it, and it's pretty crazy. Like, they don't have a really tough opponent until, what, Colorado, I guess? And that's after the break. So it's like this, yeah, until the break happens, they have some very, very winnable games. I think that they can definitely make it interesting. Not to rain on the parade here, but there's all kinds of websites that generate your playoff odds and everything, and the one that I always follow is MoneyPuck. It's not like I just use that one because it's usually pretty easy and pretty quick. They update it very quickly, but they still have Nashville at a 4.5% chance of making playoffs. It's been around like 2 or 3 for a long time. Yep. I mean, it's been really low for a while. And in fact, they've had a playoff percent chance below their chances of making the number one pick odds for a while too. They have a 5% chance of making the number one pick. So I'm not ready to say like it's a possibility yet, but they could certainly make it interesting. You know, you got this two San Jose games, the Anaheim, like you said, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Ottawa in there. I'd say if they get it within 8 points going into the break, I think that's probably enough to think, hey, they have a chance here, because then there's what, like 30 some odd games after that. I mean, 32 games or something like that after that. Is that right?
Something
like that. And that would be, making up 8 points in 30 games seems like a reasonable thing. If it's still in double digits, I just feel like it's not going to happen. So you get it under double digits, going into the final, last little bit before the trade deadline, everything, I think that they could probably make it interesting.
I get that they're playing better. The schedule thing is very interesting. I have no trust that I think they're going to lose one of these games soon to that they shouldn't lose. tell me, am I too pessimistic? Has this team beaten all optimism out of me, Alex?
No. That's exactly why I brought up the playoff odds thing, because it feels like, unless you see the miracle happen, like it's just not. And the miracle being winning a fourth game in a row, like that's the miracle you need to see in order to believe, because they've won three games in a row, like what, three times this year, and they just did it again. And I think everyone is just expecting, okay, they're going to get shut out by San Jose here in Nashville, and that's gonna be the end of that. I will say this, there are some obviously some signs of like things look better. I looked at some numbers. So like earlier in the year, before Steven Stamkos took over at first line center, they were scoring 2.30 goals per game, like worst in the league, and just so bad. 2.30 goals per game is just terrible. When he took over, it bumped up by about a half a goal. If you look at, after he took over, which is around the Toronto Maple Leafs game. And then since January 1, they're at 3.4 goals per game. So they're over a goal better since that all happened. So, since Stamkos took over at 1C, since they've gotten things going, since Forsberg and Marchessault are going again, that's encouraging. I mean, like, you feel pretty good if the offense is scoring 3.5 goals a game and the defense is looking better and your goaltenders are, managing things. You feel pretty good about it. But I'm right there with you, Joe. Until the team can prove it can win, four games in a row, you can't just think, oh, well, maybe they could reel off 10 in a row, like David Poile said the other day.
So, Alex, there was an interesting report that Elliot Friedman put out there last week on the Ryan O'Reilly front, basically insinuating that Ryan O'Reilly does not have trade protection from the Predators, but the Predators are basically treating him as if he does. And if a team is calling and is interested in Ryan O'Reilly's services at the deadline, that the Predators would definitely talk with O'Reilly about that before ever making a move. What do you make of that? Is that the right approach from the Predators? How do you view that report from Elliott Friedman?
Yeah, I mean, if this team at all wants to think that they have a chance, like, you can't trade the only other center you have. I mean, they already have center issues. And then I just don't think that Barry Trotz wants to deal away Ryan O'Reilly. That was, like, his culture change move, right? I mean, he came in, he buys out Matthew Shane, he trades Ryan Johansson, he gets Ryan O'Reilly. And last year, the Ryan O'Reilly signing was, like, by far the biggest move that improved that team. I mean, he came in and changed a lot, right? I mean, you saw it in practice and in games and the way he carried himself. Like, I think it's way more about, you know, it's less about, you know, trying to figure out how to move forward and more about, like, keeping that culture around. That's what Barry Trotz is all about right now. So I just don't think there's any way to trade him. That's why I think he probably said, you know, we're acting like he has a no trade clause because we're not going to trade him. So I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think even if they don't come close to the playoffs, I think they'll keep him because they got two more years on him. They could probably get more, you know, next year with a guy like that. That if for some reason they're out of it again, a guy that has 1 year remaining that, you know, could be looking for a, you know, cup contending team. I think that would be more likely. It just doesn't seem like this year will be the year to do it.
Man, this franchise used to not give out no trade clauses, and now they're honoring fake no trade clauses. It's quite a reversal, huh? Well, speaking of the trade deadline, Alex, let's say this team does start really getting on a heater. Do you think that this could get all the way back around to Trotz?
Oh my gosh!
Considering a rental, I mean, I know.
No.
I'm sorry.
There's
I'm just asking.
There's no way they cannot. Barry Trotz cannot be fooled into thinking that it is time to buy. There's no way. I honestly think he wouldn't do that. I think he learned a lot last year. He's still a new GM, right? Like, he's 2 years into this, and I think he knows that he probably shouldn't have bought last year, or at least, like, maybe he should have tried to trade Carrier because obviously that didn't work out and he had to trade him right away after he signed him. So I really don't think that he would get into a situation where he thinks, all right, let's go pay for Erik Karlsson from Pittsburgh, or let's go get Brock Nelson from New York. I do not think that would happen. I think Barry Trotz is, maybe learned a lot over the last little bit. Now, however, would he do some sort of backdoor buy where he, like, you know, buys a younger, maybe like potential future piece? Yeah, I think that could happen, but that would be more of like a let's flip this guy and pick up a draft pick and then turn that draft pick into something else, and it would be less of a buy for now, right? Sort of like the Justin Barron thing. Like, that wasn't really a buy. Like, that was they like him for the future, but, you know, it's not like they're buying a piece that's going to be there forever.
So Philip Forsberg went 18 games in a row without scoring a goal, and now apparently he's going to score from now until the rest of the season. It's pretty incredible to watch the run that he's on right now. What do you make of, number one, the 18-game goal drought that was just really weird? He was putting up assists all over the place. And now nobody can stop him from scoring a goal for the last five games.
Yeah, he's making up for it. It's like when you have a hose and it's cinched, you know, and then all the water comes out at once. I think Forsberg is, I mean, he's still been that guy. It's like we've been watching him all year, and the power play thing is very strange. Like, he has six power play goals, but I think there's something strange happening on the power play where, like, all these shooters and all these scorers, and none of them can decide who wants to try to score, right? It's so weird watching it because you feel like they should just be able to score every time, and yet they can't. And I know they've talked about the right-handed thing, and I guess that's part of it. But at even strength is really where, you know, Phil Forsberg shines, I think. And he's got nine even strength goals, and that leads the team. And I think that's where you need him, because that's where he can make the most difference. That's when you put him out there and he has a chance to use his power, use his size, and use his skill to really disrupt things. it's just like, what can other teams do when he gets going? And then Steven Stamkos with his playmaking ability, you know, the old playmaker, Steven Stamkos, just dishing out assists, making it happen, is exactly what we thought was going to happen. So, Forsberg, I mean, what's he going to, he's obviously not going to match last year's goal total, but he could still get to 30. I mean, like, that would be pretty impressive if he got to 30 after an 18 game stretch where he didn't score at all.
Yep, absolutely. Alex Doherty from the Tennessean, our guest, does an outstanding job covering the Predators for the Tennessean. Alex, great stuff. Go back to sleep. We'll see you in a few hours.
I'm already awake now. I'm good now. So, all right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Alex Doherty, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. What Preds pick to click coming up next? Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number. If you guess the goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. Get back into the Titans as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Preds pick the click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds in action tonight, taking on the San Jose Sharks, the final game of the five-game homestand. Puck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 1025, 1063, the game. A standings update. Joe Rex Road back on the board last time out, as were the listeners. Joe Rexroad, 10 correct answers, leads the competition. The listeners and myself with 6 correct answers. Nick Kieser's falling behind at 3. Nick Kieser's got a lot of ground to make up if he's going to catch Joe Rexroad by the end of the year. Although Kuharsky does have credit for 2 of these. So it's Rexroad and Kuharsky, the tag team.
It doesn't matter, man. there's no I in team. There's also no U in team.
That's
no
true.
K in team either.
That's true. A lot of letters that are, in fact, not in team. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Ty. Ty, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Morning, boys. We're going to roll with Steven Stamkos today.
Going with Stammer in the competition. Ty, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
So Steven Stamkos is off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
I'm going to go 1 Philip Skorsberg, please. He was wearing his Swedish pants yesterday, head of the Four Nation. I think he's feeling himself.
I was hoping that you would go with Forsberg. I was really worried that with 3 correct answers in the competition that you might pick, you know, Luke Shen today or something like that.
Maybe even Kiefer Bellows, who doesn't play.
Too many deep cuts, Nick.
Going on. I will go with the man that we just discussed with Alex Doherty. Give me Ryan O'Reilly on the board for the Nashville Predators tonight. Stamkos, Forsberg off the board, as is Ryan O'Reilly. Joe Rex showed your pick to click.
You know who wasn't happy that Nick picked Forsberg? Forsberg. I'll go with Marchessault.
Going with Marchessault in the competition. Stamkos, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault off the board in Preds pick to click. Today, Preds taking on the Sharks tonight. And then they travel to take on the Sharks on Thursday, Joe. It's very weird. Home against the Sharks tonight. On the road against the Sharks Thursday. It does not look like Yaroslav Askarov will be in net tonight. So hopefully he will Thursday. I mean, surely we can't go through both these games here without him playing.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it, man.
Yeah, it's got to happen at some point. I mean, quite frankly, the fact that he played yesterday and not today, have a little bit of a pulse, San Jose. You're not doing anything this year. Come on. What are we doing here?
Apparently he was sick yesterday, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, give him a day to heal and get back in here. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, the NHL, you should want to, like, entertain people and give them storylines. It's kind of a good idea sometimes, maybe.
Especially when you're cheeks, which the San Jose Sharks are. So
You don't think they're buns? They're only cheeks?
I think they may be buns.
Okay. Now they're really buns that they didn't. That they messed this up with the goalie.
Liam McLeod, going back to the NFL coaching carousel, throwing this question out there, Joe. Is it unusual for a coordinator to go to a division rival? Referring to Ben Johnson going from coordinator of the Lions now to head coach of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, first of all, yeah, the Kellen Moore thing, of course, Moore has been with the Cowboys, but he's the Eagles OC.
Yeah.
He's clearly done a good job with the Eagles. I think that he's going to be the choice for Dallas. So there would be another one. I mean, it's happened. Let's throw it out there. People remind us. I know this has happened before. Well, right?
Mike Vrabel was defensive coordinator with the Houston Texans and became the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, if memory serves me correctly.
There you go. Thank you. You just got one. I'm sure there's actually quite a few that would qualify. I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I'm just coming up empty right now, but I bet you there are at least a handful to 10, 5 to 10 that could come pretty easily to mind on that. It's not like it's some taboo thing at all. You know, it's there was a report that, you know, one of his reasons for reluctance was that he didn't necessarily want to, you know, be in the division with Dan Campbell. But I mean, that can't end up being that big of a reason that you do or don't take a job.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, first off, it's an elevation, right? So you're getting it's a job elevation. The teams can't stop you from doing it. So like if you end up, let's say I'm the offensive coordinator of the Arizona Cardinals and the San Francisco 49ers offer me what I think is the best situation, I'm going to take the San Francisco job. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings on the Arizona Cardinals staff there, but you got to do in this business kind of what's best for yourself at that point.
Exactly. Like one thing that comes to mind, but they're not in the same division, but they were rivals because they played in the playoffs later. It was like when Buddy Ryan left the Bears to go to the Eagles, you know. Again, not the same division, but like that became a really good playoff rivalry, and I still think that the Eagles absolutely beat the Bears if they're not playing the freaking fog in that one year in the playoffs, which you guys probably don't know what I'm referencing because I'm old. But for those of you of a certain age, you know what I'm talking about. They had to like put the announcer stand on the sideline. Is that what it was? Did they call it the fog?
I don't know.
The announcers had to stand on the sideline at Soldier Field to call the action because you couldn't see it from the booth. So yeah,
that's kind of awesome.
That's a good. Well, it's a good way to minimize the impact of Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, we can't see anyone out here. You can't throw the ball. So.
Yeah.
That's hard to play football.
On the other side, it was like, you know, Jim McMahon or Doug Flutie or whatever, just, you know, handing off.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, going to get back into the Shedeur Sanders-Cam Ward discussion. I've got some takes I want to throw Rex Rhodes' way. We'll also throw the question out there. Who do we believe is going to have a better pro career between the two? Take your thoughts on all that. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 1025, 1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.